Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our favorite co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Dr. Paul, how are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. I made you smile. Well, good. It's good to have you, and it's good to be able to go over these issues. I understand we're doing pretty well. Our audience is growing, but I hope it continues to grow because there's a lot of competition out there for us to compete with. But anyway, we're pleased with our growth, but we can tolerate a little bit more yes. people joining in. But today I want to talk about something that is definitely in the news as usual, but in various ways. We want to talk about China, and they're in trade negotiations, and there's talks with North Korea, and after that Trump wants to talk to Xi and follow up on that. But they just had some trade talks in Washington that have concluded, but they're far from conclusive. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to go for a while. But I want to read this title of an article that caught my attention. It was on Zero Hedge, to bring to mind the discussion with China. It says, Armed Services Committee Chairman, that's Imhoff, warns U.S. and China, quote, headed for World War III. Pretty strong terms. And, of course, the article quotes Imhoff and tries to explain why his concerns are such. And, of course, it's all China's fault. It has nothing to do with our policy. Nothing has to do with us, sending aircraft carriers on the borders of China, looking for some trouble. But it is something that it could be very, very dangerous. One of our country's biggest complaint has been the Spratly Islands, and they're dredging it and building air bases there, and there's territorial water questions. But there's about three or four countries involved with that. Japan's involved, and I think Vietnam. And it's hardly the business of the United States to worry about exactly how those lines are drawn. But we have declared that we are the boss, and we will protect the freedom of the seas. But when you read this, there's a lot of concern. It's a legitimate concern. He expressed some concerns that we're losing our credibility. We don't have our power. Our empire doesn't look so good. And this may be true, because his complaint was that some of these allies that we have may go over to those commies, communist China. But I find it a little bit interesting to label them communists. They label themselves communists. In many ways, they have communist tendency, but they're not like an obsessive, extreme economic communist system. And I keep thinking, we're the ones that put on tariffs, we put on sanctions, we rule, tell everybody what to do. If we don't like their president, sometimes we just, or frequently, we just change them. And yet China, here's China as a country. They produce goods at a good price. American people like them. Evidently, the price is right. And we buy them. They make a lot of money. They make profits. They don't overconsume. And you could debate that on why that happens. They don't overconsume. They save their money. Then they invest their money. And they invest in continents like Africa. And we invest in military bases in Africa. So in some ways, they have capitalistic tendencies, and this whole idea of making something and saving something and investing is a little bit different than what we do. We don't save anything, and if we need extra build bases, we just borrow the money. This past year, $1 trillion. We're going to borrow another $1 trillion next year. So I think I get a little bit nervous when people say, well, we have to defend American capitalism, and I think that's a distortion. But this is a hot issue with the trade issues going on right now, and with South China Sea, and with the hawks still around in the Senate and in the Congress.
Yeah, the Chinese pretend to be communists. We pretend to be capitalists. We're both fooling ourselves, But the thing you have to wonder, how would it sound to someone in China, even top Chinese officials, to hear someone like the Senate Armed Services Committee chairman? It's a pretty powerful position. It's an incredibly powerful position in the U.S. government. openly saying this. This is at a hearing held on Tuesday on Russia and China, the threats from Russia and China. But to hear someone of that prominence, this isn't just someone on the street at a pub saying, quote, "It's like you're preparing for World War III. You're talking to our allies over there and you're wondering what side they're going to be on." And imagine how threatening that would feel to have someone with that much power and influence threatening like that.
You know, one concern that Inhofe had was that it looked like China is defending and protecting and making allies of non-democratic regimes.
Oh, no.
Oh, I mean, they're ally with them. We would never do that. Matter of fact, I think on occasion we get rid of democratic elected leaders and we put in non-democratic regime. I think we did that in Iran back in 1953. Yeah. The leader then was elected. Mossadegh was elected, so we got rid of him and put in the Shah. So, but this is such hypocrisy. But it's all stuff that just swelled in. Nobody questions it, and we're king of the hill. But I think things are starting to crack. I think our policies will change, and I don't think we can continue to do this. And they're even expressing their concern, mainly because their goal is empire, and ours is non-intervention.
And, you know, you don't even have to reach back to 53, and there are so many examples, but just look at Egypt after the Arab Spring. They went to the polls. They elected a guy. We decided we didn't like him, so the Egyptian army overthrew him, put in their own guy, and we said they're restoring democracy, and we've had a relationship ever since. The thing about this hearing on the 29th, it is so indicative. If people really understood how these things work, maybe they might be a little bit more incensed about it. But so here Inhofe holds a hearing. A hearing, you know, in Congress should explore the sort of the broad scope of debate and help inform members of Congress on the issues. Well, in this hearing, there were three witnesses. Two of them were for the Center for New American Security. And this is a neocon think tank. Two former administration officials, including Biden's top security guy, second in line. And the third one was from the Atlantic Council. So these are three people that absolutely agree on this issue who were the witnesses. There's no opposing. So here's what Eli Ratner, who is Biden's deputy national security advisor, "American people should be preparing for long-term competition with China." And that's interesting because, you know, I know it's a little crude, but I always try to follow the money when I hear that because we're in for a long haul. So I looked at who is funding the Center for New American Security. Where do they get their money? They seem to be pretty well-heeled, unlike us, the Ron Paul Institute. So I did a little browsing. So who wants us to be ready for a long struggle with China? Well, here's our top donors: Northrop Grumman, Boeing, Chevron, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, the U.S. government, BAE Systems, NATO, and Dynacorp, all either U.S. government or military contractors. Of course, they want a long struggle with China.
But they're saints, and they're free market people, and they abide by the rule of law and property rights. But once in a while, our side gets a little bit annoyed with those communists, like a telecom organization that comes in and competes with us. And I'm thinking about Huawei.
Yeah.
And how they've arrested the daughter of the founder of that, had her arrested, and she's held in almost captivity, you know, in Canada. She can't leave. And that's to throw our weight around. You know, the charges, there are several charges, but the main charge, I think, is the fact that they said that company is getting around our sanctions. And don't they know that we're in charge of worldwide sanctions? Nobody else is allowed to use it. But she denies that they've done this, and this works with diplomacy. If they would blurt out and just tell the truth and say, we don't have to listen to you putting on sanctions. We have a right to trade with anybody we want. But, you know, the conditions won't even allow them to do that. So they're going to fight that. And there she's been held captive now for quite a few months.
And the target is Iran. And they're accused of not, you know, of helping companies get around the U.S. government sanctions on Iran. A little bit ironic because we just talked yesterday in the program about the intelligence community going up to Capitol Hill and testifying about all of these things. What's the one thing they testified? Essentially, they said the 2007 NIE on Iran is still effective. They're still not developing nuclear weapons. They're still not violating anything. So, as you say, here's this executive, top Chinese company being held prisoner at the request, at the demand of the U.S. in China for doing something to punish an Iran that is not violating anything.
I'm not too optimistic about the trade talks. I mean, it goes back and forth. You hear one positive thing, and the stocks go up, and then the next day there's something negative. But when a country starts off like we do, that we believe in tariffs and sanctions, I mean, it's pretty hard to be diplomatic under those conditions. I found it of interest that two groups, House and Senate, have introduced legislation to curtail the presidential power to issue tariffs. They didn't talk about sanctions, because I think this group probably supports the sanctions, but they're going to, if the bill were to pass, they don't expect it to pass, it's a bill that says that the president cannot issue tariffs on anybody unless they get permission from the Congress. And most people might be like, oh, that's terrible. That's too cumbersome. We need a president that's active and doing this. Of course, you don't need much power to institutionalize and follow the rules of free trade.
Yeah.
You don't have any management problem. But this has been around for a long time, that the president's had this authority, and they're saying retrieve it. But the Constitution is very clear about foreign commerce. It's a responsibility of the Congress. And that's why, transferring this authority, the authority to deal trade agreements, I've always voted against them. Not that they claim their goal so often there was to lower tariffs. That's okay. But it isn't okay to transfer power to the president because you're changing the Constitution just by legislation. But this is not an unusual event. they transfer a law because the Congress is so inept. They just give it to them, whether it has the issue of war or whatever. So this is a little bit of an expression that maybe the president has too much authority to issue tariffs. But then the question comes up, are they looking at this on principle, that he shouldn't do it, or are they doing this because they hate Trump? Mm-hmm. If they'd have been concerned about the presidential power, they'd have been challenging fast track a long time ago. They would challenge a law that's been around, gives the president to issue tariffs, and it's something that will just cause more trouble for them, and the president shouldn't have that much power.
And when Congress occasionally wakes up from its slumber and does something, they assert themselves where they have no business doing it. For example, President Trump's authority to move troops around as he sees fit as their commander in chief. No, we demand you don't do that. But you talk about the trade deal with China, and this is something I wonder, and maybe you've wondered this too. Trump's style seems to be you kind of put on the gloves and you beat up on a foreign leader as much as you can, and then you kind of back off and play nice. I just don't know that that's going to sell well in China.
Well, it seems more distraction than real conversation or real diplomacy. China also has an interest in Venezuela. They took some of that money they earned from us, the stuff that we bought from them. They ended up with some money, and guess what? They've invested in Venezuela, so they care about what's happening. I think the Venezuelans owe them some money and this sort of thing, which is none of our business. But we can hardly blame just the Chinese, for doing this. But so they do have an interest, but it should, sir, for us to just have at least a pause and say, well, maybe Venezuela is a bigger deal than we think it is. It's not going to be Panama, if they decide to take over. And they certainly are talking the importance of China. And China is interested in a lot what's going on in the world, but they're not interested in the same manner that we are, because we have 900 bases, in 120 50 countries they were involved in. And China doesn't follow that pattern. Matter of fact, China has a tradition which is a little bit different than our short history. Yes, they protected their borders and they'll fight if they have to, but basically, and I think Russia's sort of like this too until the Soviets had to go out. But most of the time, Russia right now, the argument we make is they're dealing with controversies like the Crimea, which used to be part of Russia and this sort of thing. But so it is a lot different, but they have an interest, and I don't think it would be a cakewalk if we decide to use force. And it seems like it's getting a little bit closer, the threats, because yesterday there was the announcement of who has the gold now. You know, a little bit of gold is missing.
Yeah, talk about a contrast in international styles, and you wonder why countries are starting to pull back from the U.S. So here's China. They recognize that Venezuela has economic problems, and they go up to them and say, hey, you want some money? We'll take some oil in exchange for that. And they've done it with about $50 billion. They don't get in there and try to overthrow the government, to name a new president, to put 5,000 troops next door. They go in there and they do business. And I think that's what's infuriating the U.S. because it's sort of acting like a bull in a china shop, just running around smashing things. So there is a big difference. And this is from the Zero Hedge piece that you mentioned earlier, the talk about, you know, Inhofe's China is so threatening. And they say, how is China threatening? It's One Belt, One Road initiative. Debt diplomacy and other efforts were specifically named. Well, these are all trade-based and voluntary-based relationships that the Chinese, and this is not to praise China, but they're entering into voluntary business relationships, trade relationships with other countries, and building relationships from there rather than, you know, Deus vult, you do what we say. So anyway, I think that the Chinese Communist Party newspaper, which I don't read on a regular basis, they had it right. They said Inhofe talking about World War III, he's got mental problems. So maybe that's true. But as Dr. Paul started the show with, thanks to you, thanks to our viewers, we have increased significantly our subscribers over the last few days or so, our viewership. We would love to have that continue. We are the real news network, not the fake news network. So please, if you're watching this and you haven't subscribed, please do so. Please get your friends and relatives and enemies and neighbors to subscribe so we can get the message out further and further. There is an alternative to the neocon foreign policy.
Very good, Daniel. And one other thing that Inhofe said is that he was afraid that our dominance is ending. And I hope he's right, because I don't believe in dominance, because that implies empire. So, but he's concerned about it, and a lot of people will be, especially those who come from the neocon or the military industrial complex or whatever, or the people who have been taught to believe that we can do no wrong and we have a moral obligation to police the world. But I think, yes, our dominance is coming to an end, and I hope in a healthy sort of way, because I think they're tired of the empire. I think they're tired of our sanctions. I think they're tired of our bullying people around and pretending. And I think hypocrisy finally gets to people. You know, to criticize China right now because they want to be friends with somebody that didn't have a democratically elected leader, well, you know, if that were the case, wouldn't we be critical of ourselves? I think we have a moral obligation. I thought of it in this manner when I was in office. That I have a moral obligation to do my best to do what I say I'm going to do with dealing with our government. But I never assumed, no matter what the implications were, that we had this moral obligation that I could vote for or take young people and taxpayers' money and go over and try to improve the socioeconomic conditions of a country far away for a lot of reasons. The authority is not there, the moral authority is not there, the constitutional authority is not there, the practicality of it never works. So we should direct our attention to what kind of government we have and what kind of a system we have, and that's what we're talking about. We think it's out of control, and it's been out of control for a long time, and guess what? It's very bipartisan. That's why I like to see independent-minded people and get people to come together on the issues they agree with, and there are people who will agree with us on civil liberties. There are others, not libertarians, that agree with us on foreign policy, and there are even some economic groups that would agree with us, you know, on economic policy, but maybe not foreign policy. But, you know, we need to build our strength by bringing people together and emphasizing the moral aspect of it. This whole idea that they grab the moral high ground because they care about people and they care about humanity, and therefore they should have license to do whatever they want. That has to be challenged. It has to be challenged on principle, and defend our case on the principles of liberty, and arguing the case that if you care about peace and prosperity, that's the way you ought to go. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.